Are there any corrections? Seeing none, Senator Sieben moves approval of the minutes. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails and minutes are approved. First bill before us today is number 3 on our agenda, Senate File 104, Senator Murphy. Welcome to the committee, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And we're pleased to have your bill in front of us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for the opportunity to move up on the list. Senate File 104 is the result of some discussions that I've had with some folks of the city of Cannon Falls who want to build a library and fire station, and they want to do it using the getting the best value, and that's what design build is all about. It's about getting the best value. In most cases, the upfront cost might be a tad bit more, but you save on the back end on labor, material, a lot of the processes that because you can speed up the process so quickly. The I-35W bridge is a classic example. MnDOT and Senator Rest, you're aware of this being on the Transportation Committee, but MnDOT has used design build, and theirs is a little bit different than this, so I'm not going to say that it mirrors exactly mm-hmm. what MnDOT does, but this is what Hennepin County has authority to do in statute currently. But we've all seen the successes of the I-35W bridge, Highway 212 project. There's been several other bridges in the state built using the design build parameter. And it's there for one thing, and that's to get the best value. And sometimes the best value can save communities like the city of Cannon Falls thousands of dollars on their library and fire station. Members, I do believe that this is pretty much boilerplate language. There's assurances in here. It talks about that this is only for a library and a fire station. We're not going to go out, and there's a lot of my Teamster brothers and sisters were a little worried that we were going to give the city of Cannon Falls or Goodhue County the authority to start building roads under this project or under this proposal, and that's not it. It's limited to a library and a fire station. There's other parameters in here. It's a twofold process. Phase one is the RFQ. Phase two is the RFP. And then actually there's an award at the end. And you'll find that in Section 5 when they talk about the award. But there are protections in here for not only the city of Cannon Falls, but also for anyone who may submit a bid or anyone who may get a bid for proprietary information, things that they do that are exclusive to their business. Like I said, Mr. McGowan assures me that this is pretty much word for word
similar to Hennepin County.
County has.
And Senator Murphy, are you aware of why this authority has not been made more generally available to local governments? I don't recall what the pros and cons would have been in the past.
Well, Madam Chair, I think that there may be a fear factor, a fear of the unknown about design build. And I truly believe that, there's a lot of people in this building that didn't like design build flat out. And I think that because of the professionals that we've put in charge of certain projects under design build, that they've all come out in stellar form. So I do believe that it's probably a fear of the unknown. And I know that there's, once again, there's different groups of workers that have some hesitancy with design build. Everybody from like planners and design engineers right down to the the laborer that's carrying the sheet metal back and forth. But I think most of those fears are all put away as we continue to use this process and develop it in a better manner.
And this authority, and according to the note, it was given to Hennepin County in 2002. Mr. McGowan, are you familiar with how often or how many times it's been used in Hennepin County?
Madam Chair, I'm not aware of the total number of contracts, but I think the rationale why local governmental units haven't been given the authority was because it was just considered that they didn't need it because they don't do big construction contracts like Hennepin County, the state, sports okay. facilities, and Met Council, light rail transit contracts, for example. So it's not that there's anything wrong with it necessarily, it's just that it wasn't felt that it was needed
Cannon
by the smaller
would
units.
Just like the opportunity to use this process.
Right, and Matt,
it's, and this authority here is discretionary. They can decide either to do it or not to do it.
Right, and I think that's spelled out clearly of what is required by the city and the city council. You know, they have to clearly have a vote to accept this and put the application process through. You know, and that's a good point. It's just another tool in their toolbox. They may build their fire station and library and not even use this, but at least it gives them the opportunity. And you know, if these folks are willing to, you know, go the extra mile, this is kind of the administration of this is a little different than a regular bid letting. And I do believe that the people at the city level need to, you know, do a little more work up front to make sure that this works, but they're willing to do that. And
so the authority to use it is discretionary, but if they do use it, they have to follow
yep.
this process. That's
yes, ma'am.
That's what's there. And this is what has been granted to Hennepin County in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any testifiers today?
Madam Chair, no, I don't believe.
Are there questions for Senator Murphy on Senate File 104? Seeing none, Senator Sieben moves that Senate File 104 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator Murphy. Senator Olsen.
Madam Chair, committee members.
Senator Olsen brings us Senate File 103. And to begin with, Senator Olsen moves that Senate File 103 be recommended to pass. Senator Olsen.
Madam Chair, members, I'm
and
here today.
I'm sorry, the motion will be that we vote on and be referred to the Tax Committee.
Okay. I'm here today with the mayor of Taylor's Falls, Mayor Buchheit, and Chris Ng, who is our Chisago County HRA and EDA director. And then also we have a citizen business owner in Taylor's Falls, Wade Vitalis. And we're here on a bill that we were here about last year, and the condition is still the same. Taylor's Falls is right across the river from St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, and you cross that bridge, and if you're a business, the opportunity for you as a business is, 50% lower property taxes, 40% lower workman's comp, and 20% lower corporate income tax. And Taylor's Falls has been struggling to try to maintain a business district and even a bank when it's so attractive for a business to cross a 1,000-foot bridge and be in a different state that has a much friendlier tax climate for businesses. So they all have very compelling testimony, and I will turn it over to the mayor and the other testifiers. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee, and if you would identify yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Michael D. Buchheit, spelled B-U-C-H-I-T-E. And I'm actually serving in my fourth term as the mayor of Taylor's Falls. And this is the fifth time that I've actually come down here to present some testimony for Border Cities Development Zone. And Taylor's Falls is a city that has a population of 1,054. And unfortunately, we are the eighth poorest city in the state of Minnesota with a population of more than 500 individuals. It's something that I'm not really proud of, but I'm certainly not ashamed of it either, because my goal is to change that. We have a tax disadvantage, as Senator Olsen has just said, and that's we have the state of Wisconsin. I can actually look out my front yard, see Wisconsin. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but when it comes to taxes, it's a very bad thing. We have two properties in the city of Taylor's Falls on our main street, and they sit undeveloped. They are vacant properties. One property was actually the old Livery Mall, which was built in 1886. That building caught fire in January 12th, my wife's birthday, 2001, burned to the ground, and that property has never been developed. And the reason for that is because if you put a $1 million building in that location, it's going to generate about $48,000 of property taxes, which is good for us. but the owner could actually build that same building in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, and enjoy property taxes of about $24,000 a year. So the question is, why build a building in Taylor's Falls when you can cross the bridge, which is only about 1,000 feet long? Why walk it almost every day during the summertime? And you could put your business in Wisconsin. The other opportunity that we actually have coming before us is in the spring of this year. The MnDOT property, they're actually looking at vacating or leaving the property downtown. It takes up one entire city block. We only have four in the whole city. And when they leave that area, what we're looking at doing is actually building a facility for them in back of our city hall next to our public works building, where it will house one plow truck, one sand truck, a crew of two, and then we'll have approximately 2 acres of property sitting in Taylor's Falls on the main street that will be able to be developed. Now we're looking at in the springtime of actually demolitioning that MnDOT building, the truck stall. We're going to remove the salt storage area, and then we want to make the property look attractive by putting in some sidewalks, by putting in some lights that match our existing lights, and make it attractive for a developer. The problem will be who is going to come in and develop the property based on the taxes that they have to pay when, once again, they could be located in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, 1,000 feet away. So that's the challenge that I have right now, and Senator Olsen has mentioned that we lost a bank. Well, actually, St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, 6 years ago, built a satellite facility called the S&C Bank, and in December of 2007 announced they were closing the bank in Taylor's Falls, which was not the branch for S&C, but was the main office. And so we continually lose businesses to the state of Wisconsin because of tax advantages. And what I'm looking for is for you to help me level the playing field. I'll compete, but when it comes to taxes at 50% higher in Minnesota, it's tough for me to do that. And so what I'm looking for is us to be included in a program that already exists in western Minnesota. It's the Border Cities Development Zone. And we have the same challenges and face the same problems that these five cities do in western Minnesota that we face in eastern Minnesota. So with that, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Chris Ng, the director of the HRA EDA. He is our partner in the MnDOT project.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Chris Ng. I'm the executive director of the Chisago County Economic Development Authority, and I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you today and share some of our challenges when it comes to economic development in Chisago County and specifically in Taylor's Falls. I want to share with you, if I could, a letter from Governor Doyle that was sent. Actually, it's being sent as we speak to our area businesses, and there's a chance that I might pass it out. Thank you.
Senator Olsen, the page will come.
Thank you. It's nice when the governor talks about being able to share resources with Wisconsin, but when it comes time to sharing businesses, I think that's kind of crossing the line. Our goal with this program is to, number one, our first priority is to keep what we have. We're losing businesses all the time to Wisconsin. In fact, over the past 7 years, we've lost 7 businesses from Chisago County to Wisconsin. In fact, if you look at the Osceola, Wisconsin Industrial Park, there are 21 businesses in that park. 17 of them are from Minnesota. If you jump across the river, 1,000 feet across the river, as the mayor indicated, St. Croix Falls has an industrial park that has 14 businesses. Taylor's Falls does not have an industrial park, so we've got 0 manufacturing companies in Taylor's Falls. And so when it comes time for the city to prepare its budget and allocate the budget across the taxpayers in the city, about 95% of the tax burden falls on residential property taxes because we just don't have the commercial industrial market values that most cities do. If you look at the average city in the state of Minnesota, it's about 16% for commercial industrial market values. We're considerably below that. Our second goal is to attract new businesses into Taylor's Falls. And as the letter that's being circulated shows, if a company were to come to Taylor's Falls and look at locating a business in the city of Taylor's Falls, they'll also look across the river and say, what does Wisconsin offer? Thanks, well, you can see by the letter here that's being sent out to our businesses right now, soliciting them to come over into Wisconsin, that the governor says, well, come on over and we'll save you 50% on your property taxes and 40% on your workers' comp taxes and 20% on corporate income taxes. And by the way, our sales tax is lower, and we'll offer you these incentives, including tax increment financing, and our land is cheaper. We've just got an uphill battle that we're trying to just balance that playing field, trying to level the playing field between the border cities, make it equal and allow us to have the chance to develop the opportunities that the mayor just mentioned, as well as keep our existing businesses. And with that, I'll turn it over to Wade, local business owner.
Madam Chair and committee members, thank
Welcome
you. My name
committee.
Is Wade
we
Vitalis.
We need you to identify yourself, please.
Thank you. My name is Wade Vitalis, and I'm a business owner in Taylor's Falls. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to present some information to you today. I do have some more information for the page, if you don't mind, that I'd like to hand out. I've been in business in Taylor's Falls for 20 years, and I own a restaurant. And the information that's being sent around is, especially the 2009 information, is the newest information of a comparison between my business and a comparable business just across the river in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. As has already been noted, you can basically drive down Taylor's Falls Main Street and go across the bridge and you're on Wisconsin's Main Street. And I'm one of those Main Street businessmen. On the example that's being handed around, I have two columns. One is Taylor's Falls, Minnesota. The other is St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. The first business being identified on the Taylor's Falls side is my business. It's a restaurant that I own. It's roughly an acre, 0.9 acre. It has a 1,600 square foot building. There's actually two small buildings. In 2004, it had an assessed value of $195,300 and taxes of about $7,400. My nearest competitor in Wisconsin is called the Dell's House Restaurant. It is on 2.5 acres. It has a 16,000 square foot building. In 2002, it had an assessed value of $426,000 and paid about $11,000 in taxes. If you take a look at the 2009 information, the current assessed value on my restaurant is $395,000. And this year I'll be paying $12,121 in taxes. The restaurant on the other side of the river has seen their taxes assessed values go down. They're $339,300 and will pay half the tax that I'm paying. Now, the significance of this for someone who sells hamburgers, french fries, and malts is that I can't compete when his baseline's a lot less expensive than mine. On top of the facts, we have a higher sales, state sales tax that I need to collect when I sell my hamburgers and french fries and ice cream. So that's what I'm looking at as a business owner owning a restaurant and competing directly with Wisconsin. In the second example, for two purposes, to show you that this isn't just an aberration, the first example. The second one is a commercial property that I own that I lease for retail. It's called the Anderson Yard Building. It's your number two example. It's a 1,600 square foot building. In 2009, I'm just going to jump to those figures. I think it's simpler. Has a value of $134,000. I'll be paying taxes of about $4,200. On Main Street, St. Croix Falls, 115 North Washington Street is a brick building that has 3,800 square feet. It has an assessed value in 2009 of $158,000. And as you see, it pays $1,100 less in taxes with 2.5 times a square foot. So those are examples of what we're competing with on our Main Street and why I'm here testifying to ask you to consider to allow us to be included in the Border Cities designation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there questions for Senator Olsen or for any of his testifiers? Senator Vickerman.
Madam Chair, you testifiers, I face that same thing where I live down in the southwest corner. Every time I turn on the TV, turn on the radio, come to Brandon, we will lower your taxes. So jokingly, the governor, our governor, your governor, we're hugging each other and we're going to work together. So you got to tell them to quit trying to take businesses away from Minnesota. Jokingly, I'm saying this. I'm going to support the bill because I think it's one that we've done and it's worked very good on the western part of Minnesota.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Senator Betzel?
Just a procedural question, Madam Chair. Now, according to the summary, it was heard in January of 2007, I guess 2 years ago. Did the tax committee get around to hearing it? Was it ever make it into the bill? What happened to the tax committee?
Senator Olsen?
We had a couple bills for Taylor's Falls. One was for their fire department does rescue work in the state park there within the city limits. And so I think that bill moved ahead. It was $30,000 LGA disbursement on an annual basis for them. And unfortunately, it got wrapped into their LGA cut, and so they really, this was before the unallotment, they really didn't see any additional money from that bill. So that kind of compounds this problem, but yeah, it didn't go forward from the tax committee.
Thank you. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a number of questions. Senator Olsen, so I understand this. Is it your contention that to cut business taxes, to offer tax relief to businesses, will spur economic growth and create jobs? Is that your contention?
Madam Chair, Senator Gerlach, I've always been a supporter of Job Z, and I believe that in a situation where we have a competition like this, you know, so close together, that I would agree with your statement there.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Olsen, so then what you're saying is, so it's okay to cut taxes in your district, but what about mine? Can I put my cities on this?
Well enough, Senator Gerlach.
We could put Senator Ress. My point is this. I'll make that a rhetorical question because obviously the answer would be no.
But we got the rhetoric.
My point is this. Yes, it's time for a little bit of this. We have a raging debate going on here in the legislature, and everything that your testifiers said is true. They're facing an uphill battle on the tax front. And what Senator Vickerman just said, it's happening on his side as well. We have a state, and the words were yours, Senator Olsen, when you said that Wisconsin has a more attractive business climate. So our surrounding states have a more attractive business climate. There's a number of legislators that have been saying that. And the governor gave a State of the State speech, a week or two ago, and he proposed a job creation business tax reduction, and it was savaged by opponents of that in press conferences afterwards, and as being, well, you know, giveaways or whatever all the rationale is. But the fact is, I think you and I agree on this, is that tax cuts, tax relief, will spur economic development and create jobs. I think we're all after that. And what gets to me is that instead of a statewide long-range vision about our tax policy, one that will create jobs across the state, when we should be expanding the Job Z concept across the state, instead we have to maintain it for some, those of us who are captive on the inside of the state, and we have to continue to pay high taxes and struggle with that, and yet then we have people who represent border cities coming in and getting exceptions to the rule. Well, we can't get by on our onerous taxation. We need some relief. And so we have Senator Vickerman, who is ably representing his district and asking for that. And we have Senator Olsen, who's doing his job and representing his district and doing that and coming to us. What we need to do as a legislature is say, no, we can't do this, that we hear what you're saying, and what we need to do is we need to, instead of putting our fingers in the dikes here and there around the state, what we need to do is have a comprehensive, long-range vision for our business climate in the state of Minnesota. And what we need to do is, like Senator Olsen said, he's supportive of the Job Z and the idea. I've not really been a big fan of Job Z because it picks winners and losers. I'm in favor of the idea if it's statewide. We need to do this statewide. So I think that you're certainly philosophically in the right place, and your testifiers here are certainly facing the challenges which I agree with. However, members, we have to stop putting our fingers in the dike, and we have to start thinking long-term. Politicians are so often labeled with just short-term, no vision, no long-term planning. We should stop doing these things, and we should think about the long-term, and we should take a look at a statewide policy. So for that, I would urge us to reject this in favor of a statewide policy, and I don't know if we can amend this kind of a thing or start with something else, but make it statewide, and that's what I would say to this.
Well, thank you, Senator Gerlach. Are there any other comments? Well,
Madam Chair, I just said this is a happy day today. Maybe it's the Wisconsin cheese is why people are moving across. I'd go over there for Wisconsin cheese. Wouldn't bother me.
Senator Carlson?
Just don't say the Packers.
Madam Chair and Senator Gerlach, I guess I want to make some corrections here. When you're talking about a business such as we've had presented here, and I didn't hear the entire presentation, but we have a competition on two sides of the border for the same type of customer. And yes, this is a matter of picking winners and losers because we have communities that are very close, that are in competition with each other, and the only thing that's different is the tax rates. And I think if we had a bill here to raise the taxes in Wisconsin, we'd probably all vote for it. But we can only do the things that we can control, and that might be to give people a little bit of an advantage. We're not cutting, to my knowledge, we're not cutting the taxes on, for instance, the gasoline sold right across the border, and there are still gas stations there. But there are some businesses that have small profit margins. There are businesses that have large profit margins also. And the businesses that need high-quality employees, they need to locate in a place where there are employees available. And the bills that we have coming to the state here, we need to be able to fund them. And what especially brought my hair up on my neck here is this conversation about the tax rates in Minnesota that was mentioned in the State of the State. And there's an error there, a major error, and that is that we don't pay a lot of tax here in the U.S. or in Minnesota. We have a high rate, but, and you can even manipulate the statement that we have a very high rate when compared with other countries. But the fact of the matter is that if anybody is in a multinational company and you go talk to your controller and you'll find that we move income to the U.S. because it is easier to avoid the taxes in the U.S. than any other nation, that at least my company did in 63 nations. We move it here because it's easier to avoid taxes in the U.S. than it is in any other nation that they did business in. And this is something that I think we need to be honest about it with ourselves. A tax rate is different than how much taxes we pay. So now what we need to do is we need to solve the problem of the non-competitiveness we have with our businesses on the border, and I think this is something that can help. So I support this, but I guess we need to be honest about our tax rates and about how much taxes we pay and what we get for them in this state.
Okay, looks like we're going to have a real discussion here. Senator?
This is my 18 years of being in Minnesota, being a state senator. It's all arriving today, and I will support the bill, basically, because I support lowering business taxes wherever we can get them. But think about this, and I also worked for IBM for 28 years, and I just about fell off my chair the other day when I was down in Rochester, and the guy says he has now 76,000 employees in India. IBM now has 76,000 employees in India. But here's the difference. The state of Minnesota, our budget is $34 billion. Wisconsin's $27 billion. Wisconsin has 480,000 more people than we do. Here's the interesting thing. It's because their business and industrial is lower. There's no doubt about it, because they want to draw business into Wisconsin. Their property taxes on individual homes are a lot higher. So in Minnesota, what happens is that's the $8 billion difference, because in Wisconsin, they're paying more for their schools, as we have our formula that's 80-some percent. We pay for the schools. We have LGA and whatever. Over there, it's more local people pay for their schools and such. So there is a huge imbalance in the states, but it isn't just the border. I could tell you every business in Winona compared to La Crosse. I mean, you could go I don't know about Duluth that much, but I can tell you down in southern Minnesota, I could go to all the companies and it's better. So I'm for the bill, because if it'll just help you, that's good enough. And I just hope more come on in, because if we can do comparisons as we go down the line, or if we don't do something, and especially now where we're trying to get jobs in Minnesota, this is good that you brought this here, and we'll all just take a shot at it and do what we can right now. But we have a huge problem in this area, and a lot of people don't want to admit it, because I think personally, politicians like myself, and I'll talk about myself, we realize that you can have one building and it's one company, and then sitting in the community is 4,000 homes or 10,000 homes or whatever, and the 10,000 homes vote and the building doesn't. It's that simple. And that's the reason we have a system that is, I think personally, a little screwed up, but I'm not on the tax committee, so I'm...
Well, Senator Day, I would add, on the other hand, it is the owner of that building that operates a business in that building that is one of the biggest beneficiaries of education system that the property tax supports. So it's not all burden without benefit. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple things. First of all, I want to try to persuade my friend and colleague Senator Day to maybe not vote for this. And again, I understand the problem fully, and I understand why you're here today and you'd like this to pass. The problem here is that when we turn the release valves and let the pressure off on some of these places, it causes the pressure for statewide reform on this to be lessened. Because I would rather have you at the Capitol here saying we want a statewide job Z. We can't compete with Wisconsin. They have a more favorable business climate, according to Senator Olsen. And therefore, we need a statewide vision for what we're going to do with our business taxes. And if we pass this out of here, you're done. You're gone. Grab your home, and then you're left. Now there's some more soldiers gone in the fight to get some justice in the way we do our taxes. And as far as Senator Carlson, whatever the discussion is about rates and accuracy of this or that, we're looking at real dollars here. The chart that was handed out shows real dollars. It's not rates. It's not versus the effective rate or the whatever. This is the actual dollars paid. So I don't know that there's any consolation in what's going on in Taylor's Falls with whatever the rate issue is. But I just know that if we continue on and just make exceptions to the rule to relieve some of the pressure where the shoe pinches, we're never going to get new shoes. And we're just patching things. So, Senator Day, please reconsider that and help us to get some longer-term vision about what we're going to do about the business climate in the state of Minnesota so that we can pull out of this recession and not just put Band-Aids on things. So,
well, Senator Gerlach, although I find the comparisons with regard to the businesses of interest and very dramatic, what would be even more helpful then is to have the property value of the three gentlemen that are sitting in front of us on their homesteads and the property values of the owners of the properties in St. Croix, Wisconsin, and let us compare the property taxes on their homesteads. I would also like to see, we have a 7% state sales tax. I really don't know what the base is in Wisconsin, whether they tax more things or less things. That would be of interest to me. If they have a much broader base, then a 5.5% sales tax is certainly reasonable. What perhaps Minnesota needs to do there is increase our base in order to reduce our rate to be comparable. So although this is an interesting picture, it's not necessarily a complete one. I have no problem reducing business taxes. I think we need to do that because I think the corporate tax, as we have heard from the Budget Friends Study Commission as well as others, is an extremely volatile tax. It's undependable in terms of sustaining economic activity in our state, and we need to, not that we don't need to have revenues from business because they do get benefit, not just burden, but we need to move away from those tax systems, which are so volatile that they are they're unreliable as part of the stream of revenues to support our economy, our values, and our way of life. So I hope you're not going to make that a partisan thing because that is not going to be that is not going to be the I think what you're going to see from both Democrats and Republicans in terms of supporting tax policy that benefits the state.
Oh, Madam Chair, if I could ask another question on a different line
yes.
as well.
Okay. Go right ahead. Senator Gerlach.
It's not partisan. It's all about jobs. We all want jobs
right.
for the state of Minnesota. All right. Senator Olsen, on the right up here, this, the analysts It says that last year this bill was introduced referred to tax committee where it did not receive favorable action. I think that's a euphemism for it failed in committee. Can you tell us why that? What was the discussion? Why did it fail in the tax committee? And what has changed between last year and this year?
Senator Olsen.
Madam Chair, members, like I mentioned to Senator Betzel, I think I might have had my years off, but Taylor's Falls also had another proposal for this $30,000 because of the rescue work that they do in the interstate park. And I suspect, you know, it was kind of an either-or and not both situation where they were going to be able to get one or the other. And they did get the $30,000 for the park. As I mentioned, that ended up, because of LGA definitions and stuff, they really got nothing out of that. So it was kind of an exercise in futility. But because they got the $30,000, but their LGA was in turn cut, so they didn't see, like, that was before the unallocation or an allotment. And so they really came down here a number of times and testified and really didn't get anything. So it was pretty frustrating.
Madam Chair,
Senator,
I remember that $30,000 deal. So then maybe I jumped again. Maybe it's probably referred and then laid over for possible inclusion. And just kind of fell off the table in the final tax bill.
Madam Chair, that's exactly
Senator
what happened.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Any further discussion of Senate File 103? Seeing none, Senator Olsen renews his motion that Senate File 103 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
No. No.
Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator Olsen. Senator Dickens.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Senator Bickerman brings us Senate File 41, which looks familiar. As an idea that has come before us on a number of times with regard to other counties. Senator Bickerman moves that Senate File 41 be recommended to pass. Senator Bickerman.
Madam Chair, could somebody pass out the resolution? I have a resolution from the county that I want everybody to see.
So Paige is coming. Ms. Jones is coming.
Well, Madam Chair, I had this bill last year before you and passed it. And then when it went over to the House, Representative Hamilton, being a new representative, didn't quite know how the procedure worked. And so he didn't make it on time. And you can't blame him because I should have informed him, you got to be sure you move it ahead. I've done it for quite a few of my counties. It just simply does, this makes the Office of County Auditor Treasurer appointed if the County Board approves. And they, by the measure of 4/5 in a petition, I've got all that with you today. And you know, I think maybe more in this year than any year because we all know that tomorrow's news is going to be bad. With the cuts that's going to take place, now the county can save some money if they can just do like a lot of us are going to have to do. We're going to have to combine and do business as usual. So I have Ms. Franson here if she could speak a little bit to it.
Sure. Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Janice Franson. I'm the Jackson County Coordinator. On behalf of the Jackson County Board of Commissioners, I'm here today to ask that you consider this proposed legislation, which would allow for appointment of the Jackson County Auditor Treasurer. The County Board recognizes that this position has evolved into a highly technical and specialized position. This is a key management position responsible for managing a $19 million budget. In a small county such as ours, every position is very handy. It is crucial that a highly qualified individual fill this position. Individuals who may be highly qualified for the position of Auditor Treasurer may not be willing to take the risk of seeking election while currently employed, where they would have to leave the security of a well-paying job that may be for only a 4-year term. Our current Auditor Treasurer is eligible for retirement at any time, and the proposed bill does allow for the incumbent to complete his current term. The public has opportunity for input through public hearing and for potential for reverse referendum. I respectfully request your consideration of this legislation, and thank you very much for your consideration.
Are there questions or comments for Ms. Franzen or Senator Bickerman on Senate File 41? Seeing none, Senator Bickerman renews his motion that Senate File 41 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
A number of years ago, we actually passed legislation that was vetoed by the governor. It was a long time ago. Guess which governor it was.
To make this.
Yes, to make it where the counties could just go ahead and do it. It was vetoed by Governor Carlson. And I don't know that anyone has tried to do it since.
I think what we have seen is just a proliferation of individual counties coming before us to ask for permission for this reorganization of their government. And the pros and cons of that are convenience, efficiency, effectiveness, as opposed to letting the people decide on who runs their county. And
well, Madam Chair, it's not very efficient to have them coming to us.
That's where the balance has been.
Again and again, I mean, every year.
That's what the arguments have been about it in terms of changing it from something that is position that's voted on. Senator Betzel.
Madam Chair, maybe when we're down to under 10 counties that still need it, maybe then the governor will sign it. So.
Right.
You think?
I don't know how many counties have it already.
Yeah.
Anybody guess? 40?
Madam Chair, over the years, I think it's been at least 40, 12 in the recent past. And I think there was one other attempt to go statewide that died in the House, in addition to the one that Governor Carlson vetoed. So there have been several cracks at making it statewide unsuccessfully.
Madam Chair, do you know who the Senate author was of that bill that was vetoed by Governor Carlson?
Senator Pappas.
Yes,
it must have been
right.
You. Thank you very much, Ms. Franzen.
Madam Chair.
Bickerman. We did vote.
We did vote.
And the next bill and the last bill for today is Senate File 57.
Senate File number 57, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate File 57 be recommended to pass, and I have an author's amendment that I would like adopted at this time.
Okay, copies are being made right now, Senator Rest. Perhaps you can describe the bill, and we'll get the copies distributed as we get them.
Mr. Chairman and members, Senate File 57 deals with financial management practices in state government. As you may know, there's been a lot of attention lately to the audits that have been conducted of state agencies and state programs supported by Minnesota taxpayer dollars that have revealed a number of findings that indicate that our performance in that area is less than stellar. And we have been pleased with the response of some agencies as they receive these audits to resolve the findings that have been made by the Legislative Auditor's Office. And quite frankly, dismayed by others. And I'm speaking mostly now as a member of the Legislative Audit Commission. We have found in receiving those audits a pattern of problems with financial management. And so working with the legislative auditor, we had this bill drafted that really sets up that the Department of Finance, and we will be having a bill come before us that officially changes the name of the Department of Finance to the Minnesota Management and Budget Agency, MMB. And we have been working with them to find a way to be much more explicit about the duties of the Commissioner of Finance. I'll keep calling him that at this point. And with regard to internal controls and to put that role as an overseer of state agencies, to clarify that in the statutes. I met with Commissioner Hansen and one of his deputies, and they suggested and talked with them about the language that had been recommended and that was jacketed into the bill that was introduced as Senate File 57, and they I asked them to make suggestions for if they thought other language would be preferable. They did so, and that is the author's amendment that you have in front of you, I hope, now.
Okay, I believe everybody has a copy of the AA1 amendment. This is an author's amendment to put the bill in the shape that she desires to proceed. Senator Rest moves the A1 amendment. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. The A1 amendment is adopted. Senator Rest.
So what the A1 amendment does then is to redefine what that role will be with regard to training materials and policies dealing with internal controls and making sure that those people in the executive branch that do have the roles of either CFOs or overseers of expenditures or accounting procedures or whatever, that they have a regular course of training on internal controls and financial management. This was language that was suggested by the Department of Finance, in which I consulted also with Legislative Auditor Nobles, and he thought it was fine, and we offer it here. The bill will need to go and my motion will be eventually that the bill go to finance in order to develop these programs. There certainly will be some cost to the department, and we need to know what the cost will be and perhaps further refinement of this language. But the notion that we have people who are experienced in oversight of financial management practices, I think, has been made all too clear that we need that, we desperately need it, and that I'm very pleased, as a matter of fact, that the governor is recognizing that and directed Commissioner Hansen to set up actually a program that is going to happen on February 10th, I believe it is, a forum on internal controls for members of the state agencies that will, in part, be addressed by the legislative auditor, by the state auditor, and Commissioner Hansen has also invited me to participate in that to give a legislative perspective. So the legislative auditor is here. A deputy commissioner is here around the corner there to share their comments about the bill and their cautions, and I hope basically their support. And again, the language that you have in front of you that was the amendment was the language that was sent to us by the Commissioner of Finance.
And Senator Russ, it's my understanding that the Deputy Commissioner desires to testify. That's what I'm told. If that's the case,
yep, that's fine.
We certainly would invite that. One question that I have that certainly may be addressed here, too, is do you know what the practice has been up until now? I mean, we've received all these reports from the legislative auditor, dealing with agencies all across the board. Certainly, legislative committees have reviewed them, but is there anybody within the executive branch that has been paying attention to it? I realize that's what you're trying to get at this bill, but are you suggesting that there hasn't been anybody really to shepherd this before?
Well, Senator, Mr. Chairman and members, Chapter 16A does give the authority of this oversight to the Commissioner of finance. He has a role that is different from he or she has a role that is different from the heads of other state agencies. He's more than just the head of a single department. He is also the state's chief financial officer with wide-ranging responsibilities, and that's why it is important to clarify and to clarify the oversight of internal controls that we're attempting to do in this bill and to make sure that the training for that is widespread throughout state agencies and doesn't just come up in audit reports that have 17 findings from the Department of Natural Resources, although they've been extremely responsive in their comments on the auditor's recommendations, or 17 findings on the personal care attendants, where it appears that members in the Department of Human Services can't think that it's possible for someone to work 24 hours a day for an entire month and being reimbursed in that rate. We need to have people that are stopping that kind of reporting, even if it's a mistake rather than an attempt to defraud, from the get-go. And we would hope that training in internal controls and oversight would accomplish that.
Okay. Deputy Commissioner, was it your desire to be heard on this bill? Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you. My name is Lori Moe, and I'm an assistant commissioner at the Department of Finance or Minnesota Management and Budget.
We just elevated you.
Okay.
We promoted you.
First, I'd like to say thank you to Senator Rest for the language change that she considered in response to our comments. In both of these areas, these are functions that have been historically performed by the Department of Finance to some degree. I think what we're talking about here is really a matter of levels and emphasis, and we certainly agree that these areas can be strengthened. And would agree that is the right direction. We're looking at our options in terms of how we might respond to these. There's quite a range, which some of which will exceed our current resources. For example, on the internal control policy, we have an existing policy in place. We have some training curriculum developed. We do not currently offer that training enough times during the year to reach all of these people every 2 years in a live face-to-face kind of training environment, but there are other options that we can look at in term. For example, in our payroll area, we have had some success in doing trainings through a web-delivered product, and those can in some instances be live classes. In other instances, they can be pre-recorded sessions. So depending on our audience and the materials that need to be covered and the need to be able to be face-to-face and answer questions, we might have different approaches for different groups of folks that need this training. And so we'll explore that further.
Thank you. Any questions of the Assistant Commissioner? Is there anybody else who's here who wants to be heard on Senate File 57? Seeing none, Senator Rest moves that Senate File 57 as amended be recommended passed and be referred to the Committee on Finance. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator.
Senator Bessel, I invite you to adjourn the committee.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Make a note of it in the minutes.